Hey, my name is Taylor Grant. I'm here with Bellator Claims. I'm here for another episode of the Denial of the Day podcast. I'm here with Derek Riley. He's one of the coolest mofos I've met in the roofing industry. He's a badass. He actually got this claim to us and paid. And I think basically from start to finish, bro, it was like 3 or 4 months. And he just did the most amazing job. Like he was saying about me, I don't like extending my good name unless I know for certain that somebody is a badass mofo, and he for sure is. And so we're going to talk about a couple things today. One, his biggest and like brightest spot as far as projects go. Two, maybe one of the most absurd, craziest denials or insurance claim stories. And then three, what we really actually want to know about, which is what is happening behind the scenes? What actually happens in your real life? Like we are all business owners in this space. There's a lot of us that are the business owners, but what really happens in life? And that's what we want to explore and kind of and really see. So, Derek, welcome, my brother. Thank you for being here with us. And you
Yeah.
know Derek's a badass because he's in his truck. He's on a job, I think, right now in Castle Rock, right? Just like
Yeah.
he's like, dude, Taylor, I want to be on your podcast, but I can't leave this job site because I got shit to do. And he's doing it. So thank you for being here, brother.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the intro and everything you said about me, I too would say about you. So thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. And so, dude, I
Yeah, of
truly want to
course.
give you kudos because when we worked with some roofers, we will never work with them again because it is tumultuous. They don't work as a team member. Like there's a dynamic to winning a claim, which is the insured has ultimate settlement authority. You, the contractor, and us as the public adjuster, right? We're the triangle of trust, if you will. I just threw that out there. I have no idea if that's like let's patent that.
Beautiful.
Let's
There you
trademark
go.
that, dude. But ultimately, dude, there it is. It's the triangle of trust to make sure that we get the best result for the insured because we wouldn't be here without them. And so, dude, I really want to give you kudos for that. Thank you so much for
Well,
being
thanks.
an upstanding guy that does the right thing, does the best possible work for the client, dude. That's one of the biggest things that I look for in someone that we work with and as a referral partner is the integrity of doing the right thing. So I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pleasure, pleasure.
Dude, so let's hop right into this thing. Give me maybe one or two of your biggest, best, brightest like spots as far as projects go, some of the stuff that you're the most proud of, things that you brag to your friends about. Like, give me any of those things.
All right, so number one, that's actually the project that I'm on right now. It's the biggest repair we've ever closed. It's about a $65,000 repair on a big apartment complex in
Yeah.
Castle Rock, like you were saying. And so it's exciting because I've really built my company around service, and landing a repair of this size
Yes.
is, it's awesome. And it's like helping me reach these goals. And it's cool to get everyone else built in that's on our team of like, oh, wow, $65,000 repair. That's a big repair. Maybe we are doing stuff. Maybe we are going places, So
Right.
that's, this is a really big one. So I'm really happy about this one.
Dude, I love that, brother. And it sounds like you're kind of at the beginning part of your journey in this industry as you continue to get some of these bigger jobs, right? I think other like bigger companies would look at, a $65,000 repair, who cares? But dude, the thing that I always say is every big fish started as a little fish, right? And I have
Yeah,
terminated
absolutely.
relationships with people in the industry and vendors that are just like, well, like who cares about Bellator and Taylor? And now fast forward 7 years and I'm working on $10 million claims. They're like, holy shit, who is this guy, right?
Yep.
So dude, I
Yep.
commend you for where you're at and the work that you do and getting and establishing these relationships. So we talk about relationships, everybody's like, oh, it's all about relationships. But dude, what does that really mean to you specifically, especially like on this job that is a big repair?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question because I always preach the same thing. It's always about relationships, always about relationships.
Yeah.
What that means to me is not just following up with an email every 2 weeks. That is being the first one on the job site in the morning, talking to the maintenance director on site, being there for the guys to hand out company swag, being there with the ladder, being there with the
Yeah.
materials, navigating everything, holding a safety meeting, and showing that without the property managers or the maintenance directors having to ask. And so it's having your shit in line, knowing that you're going to kill it, knowing that you're going to do a good job on top of the follow-ups and being authentic too, man. Like
Yeah.
it's really cool to build the relationships around people who, vibe in the same way or have the same mindset as me. Because once it gets to that point, And I always say I like to start small with repairs just to build the relationship. Whether, I mean, if someone has like a gutter extension that falls off, call us. If someone has, you know, a leak around a skylight, call us, because a lot of other companies don't want to do that. But in my opinion, that's the best way to show your communication, your punctuality, your workmanship, and just who you are overall as a person and as a company. So then when the big repairs do, like when they do come, it's, you know, everything's already there and they trust you. But it's funny, like this repair, there was an apartment complex, because I still do a lot of cold calling. I was across the street knocking an apartment complex, just handing out mugs and pens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I saw this complex and I was like, all right, I'll just go over there. Who cares? Worst they're gonna say is no, as always, you know. So I walk in and just perfect timing, within 10 or 15 minutes, got a seat at the table. And that was probably 2 months ago. And then they approved the repair, you know, probably 2 weeks ago, and just like, holy shit, that was awesome. So, and being able to follow up on that type of stuff too, of like,
right,
hey, you might be a cool guy via email and phone calls, but can you provide once the stuff, like once the date comes to get here and do the repair? So it's cool being able to back it up as well.
Dude, I love that. You know, this is the thing that I
Thank
like
you.
About you, brother, is that you're still willing to like knock on door, still willing to cold call, right? I think that, like
100%.
Me included, right? Like you get to a place and you're just like, you kind of forget the things that you did to make you successful. And then you're wondering like, why is my business not going the way that I wanted to? And then you're like, well, it's probably because I forgot to do all the things that got me here. And in addition to that, like moving to the next level. So talking about that, brother, what's the next best or biggest step for you guys that you see in 2024?
In 2024 for us, I think the next biggest best step would be one or two more service trucks, and then maybe a commercial supervisor, project manager. But again, I've built all these relationships over the last 4 or 5 years. Some are new, some are old, but again, it's all the work that I've put into. And so I'm not willing to pass the torch off, if you will, to just anyone. It has to be someone that I trust, that has the exact same values and knowledge that I have. So, I mean, I'm probably always going to cold call. I'm always going to have these relationships, just because like, that's what I like to do. I like the discomfort of it. But if we can get a couple more service trucks going, then we will really be able to break into a lot bigger industry, or I'll say bigger industry, but reach a lot more clientele and offer the service that I preach to everyone. So I think two more service trucks is my goal, and that would be huge.
Dude, that's awesome, brother. I know you'll get there, because you have the drive, you have the determination.
Thank you.
And I know you from a connection through one of our mutual friends and Tony Robbins. Do you want to talk about that at all? Like, do you want to dive into that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Man, open book. It's so funny, because I feel like Tony Robbins has people who are like, oh, fuck yeah, Tony Robbins. And there's people who are like, dude, Tony Robbins, huh? But for me, like, if you really look at what Tony Robbins preaches, like, that dude helps so many people, and he's passionate about what he does, and he has great advice. And maybe he's intense, but I mean, I would take intense and passionate about life over a fucking bump on a log any day, you know? And so it's like, when I see and listen to him, he talks to all these amazing people, and he just motivates and inspires and cares so much. And so it's like, if you really buy into that and look past the surface level type of stuff, I mean, I'm all for it. I'm a huge Tony Robbins proponent. Supporter, we'll say that.
Yeah, dude. And as am I, right? So I went to Unleash the Power Within in Colorado Springs in like 2005, like way long ago. And it kind of set my trajectory on that. And so, yeah, like, dude, for all the haters, what? One of the most successful people that has one of the most fulfilling lives has helped like literally hundreds of millions of people. What else do you want, right? But the reason I bring that up, man, is because the power of relationships and the power of connection and the power of the interaction of people at the same level, or levels maybe a little bit higher than you, or as you're helping somebody up to your level, right? And so Troy introduced us, you know, probably, I don't know, 8-10 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less. I can't remember exactly. And then you and I decided to work together, and it turned out to be an awesome working relationship, and we got the claim fully and fairly paid. And so let's maybe move into that realm. You know, that claim that you and I worked on, we ended up actually doing freaking amazing for the insured, and there was really no hiccups that I can think of. But dude, like, do you have a claim situation that was absurd, or just like outright crazy or sad or maddening, any one of those things? Like, does anything come to mind specifically?
The title claims are always tough. And honestly, the one we just did with you guys was that one that I was like, when the adjuster when I first saw the initial estimate come back, I was like, man, I don't know how I'm supposed to work with this guy. Cause the building owner didn't 100% trust me at the time. And then I was telling him like, you know, there's hail damage. They said there's hail damage. We'll get this roof replaced. Then when I saw the estimate come back, I was like, man, I don't know about this. And so in terms of like, there's two sides of it, right? Because for me, working with you guys and working with the adjuster was smooth and easy and great. So like the second that I got involved with you guys, it was great. But then earlier on, like before that, it was, and I'm not just kissing your ass here. This is like actually how it happened.
No, I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, for sure. No, because, you know, new company, this is a relatively big commercial claim for, I got it when we were under a year in business. It's, you know, a $240,000 commercial re-roof, if done properly, could, you know, help me get to the next level. But if done improperly, could have put me out of business. And so here I'm trying to please the client and just say, hey, we can get this replaced for you. And I'm looking at this estimate. I'm like, man, there's no way I can do it for this price. This guy's not even saying I'm getting O&P when there's four trades involved. And I was kind of stuck because I had, I don't say lost some public adjuster relationships when I left the old company, but there's people who I didn't reach out to and didn't work with necessarily on the commercial side of things. So it really was a perfect timing with all of that. So I would say this is kind of a transformational claim for me and as a company.
Dude, that's so great. And so before we got involved, basically the adjuster, from what I remember our conversation a few months ago, was he's basically like, I'm not going to pay this. You know, like, you guys aren't owed overhead and profit, which is so funny. I mean, I could go down that rabbit hole for like the next 25 minutes. I want to like beat the shit out of, like, dude, you guys owe for overhead and profit, especially on a commercial project in the middle of Longmont, right? Like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, you for sure overhead and profit.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so it was interesting because I remember that specific claim was, it was an adjuster with the insurance company that I had worked with on another HOA project in Fort Collins. And dude, it was so awesome. So like you had mentioned, like the insured wasn't sure about you. They weren't sure about me. And, you know, they're a little apprehensive about the whole situation. And I remember we got on a phone call, right? It was you, it was me, it was the insurance agent and the insurance adjuster and the insured, right? And so, maybe the adjuster, actually the adjuster wasn't on there. It was the agent, the insured, you and me, right? And so I remember the insured asked the insurance agent, he's like, so you're telling me that I have to hire Taylor and Bellator to have you guys pay my claim? Like, what is that all about? And dude, it was just like crickets. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and you were like, hey, insurance, you want to go ahead and answer that for him? That's so funny. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he had a good point. Like, I legitimately understand where he was coming from because it makes sense. You know, like, I pay my insurance. Why do I have to pay someone else to get my insurance to pay? Like, if you look at it from his shoes, you're like, yeah, man, that you shouldn't have to. But yeah. That tension you could have cut with a knife. That was super funny.
Dude, it was so good. I think after that conversation, the insured's mind was like, oh, Derek and Taylor actually work on my behalf. And so I think that was part of the flip. But dude, it's interesting because in that situation, going back to the adjuster, I'd worked with that adjuster before, right? And so when we got involved, the adjuster knew how we operate as a company, and we're not throwing anything in there that's not legitimate and reasonable, right? We're honest, we're upfront. If the insurance company owes for it based on the policy, the insurance company owes for it. Sorry, dudes, like, you guys owe for this. If you can show me a reason that it's not legitimate or not reasonable, I'm all ears, let me know. But otherwise, freaking pay it, man. So I'm glad we got to be involved in that for you, brother. That was freaking awesome. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about, like, what kind of truck do you have?
I have a 2022 Ram.
Yeah.
I got in trouble for calling it a Dodge Ram because apparently it changed from a Dodge Ram to just Ram. So 2022 Ram. which is one of those things. I was like, I don't give a shit, but someone corrected me on it. So now that I know.
The purist, I have a truck too. It's an F-150, and like, I don't really give a crap. I don't care if it's a Ford or a Chevy or a Toyota. Dude, if it looks cool and it goes fast, like, I'm in, right? But the purists are like, dude, would you just call it a Dodge Ram? Like, what? It's just Ram now, man. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's what it is. I'm just like, oh yeah, Ram Hub. I was like, dude, I don't give a shit. I like the way it looks and it carries enough that I can
Right.
load enough and stuff in the back. Like, that's
Dude,
it. Yeah.
that's so funny. So on a personal note, man, like what is life like for Derek behind the scenes outside of work? Like, what does that look like for you? Like, what are you involved in, you're passionate about? Like, just tell us about you specifically.
Yeah, honestly, I'm an early riser. I like getting up in the morning, going to the gym and being ready into the office by 7:30. And then after that, I mean, honestly, I do a lot of yoga, a lot of self-work.
Yeah.
I kind of started a journey on that nature about 2.5 years ago. And it's one of those, once you get in it, it's kind of hard to turn back once you
Right.
see some progress. And I mean, it involves
Yeah.
a lot of tough conversations and a lot of awkward situations, but I just love the personal growth, and it helps me be a better person and a better leader, and in
Yeah.
turn be a better just friend, brother, son to everyone involved in my life, you know? And so then that's almost kind of addicting in itself. And so, I mean, I love
Yeah.
traveling and stuff like that, but on the weekends, man, I pretty much a homebody, don't do a whole lot. Just got an old dog. He's 12 and a half. So I like spending, the remaining years of his life with him. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, pretty chill, honestly.
Dude, that's so awesome. So let's talk about your like self-development stuff, because I'm really into that as well. And it's, dude, it's amazing. It has changed my life in so many different ways. I'm a self-proclaimed biohacker, but really, I mean, all the stuff that I do really starts with the mental aspect, and then it goes into the physical aspect, right? And so I think that's what you were talking about specifically. Like, give me one or two things that you like couldn't give up if you had to, because they're so freaking important to you.
Yeah, honestly, from a mental standpoint, therapy. I mean, I go to therapy once a week, and it's,
Yeah.
when you first tell people that, they're like, oh, well, what's wrong, man? Like, why are you seeing a professional? But don't get me wrong, like, all sorts of shit's wrong with me, but it's good to like talk things out. It's just like, you don't realize where you could be a better person without seeing it. And it helps having a third party professional be like, hey, you know what? Have you ever thought about it this way? Or have you ever thought about the reason you get mad about these things is because of this? And I like that third party feedback and constant, improvement, because I can self-reflect all day, but then you get in the narrative of telling yourself your own story, which may or may not be true. So it helps having a third party tell you about that. And then the second thing I wouldn't change is exercise. Like, mental
Yeah.
health and exercise come before everything, before family, friends. And that may sound fucked up, but I prioritize my mental health and my physical health before anything.
Right, dude. And well, I mean, a couple things. So, like, when people ask, like, well, dude, what's wrong with you? Like, where do I start, bro?
Yeah, right. It's a long story.
It's a long list. Where do I start? But no, secondly, I talk to my kids about this, which is you can't give the world something that you don't already have. And
Correct.
if you don't have that mental health or the mental clarity or the mental fortitude for that day, it is very unlikely that you're going to be able to have the capacity to help someone else, right? Could you potentially, if
Yeah.
you're sacrificing your own self, which sometimes is legitimate, I think reasonable, but other times, dude, like you can't give more than what you currently have. So I love the fact that you prioritize yourself. And dude, it's like,
Thank you.
it's not selfish, right? Taking care of yourself is
No.
not selfish, because when you take care of yourself, you are actually less selfish because you can take care of everybody else. And
Exactly.
that's the thing I think a lot of people miss out on, right? Is like, well, I can't be selfish. Why not? Like, you should be. If you consider that
Yeah.
selfish to take care of yourself by going to exercise in the morning and then maybe meditating or journaling or going to therapy, like, dude, you got bigger problems, man. So that, but the
Yeah,
thing is, dude,
seriously.
I love that. And I love that you're transparent about it, because I think, like you had said, there's a stigma around some of that stuff, especially like going to therapy. And dude, I can be honest and say that I've done that same thing, and I've done some medicinal journeys
Yeah.
that changed my life for the
For
better.
sure.
I am a totally different person today than if you would have met me 3 years ago. Completely different person. You would not even recognize me, dude. Like, you just, like, the energy that I step into a room with now is a completely, completely different energy than I've ever had before. And it's freaking amazing. So,
Yeah, I could tell at your Topgolf event. That was pretty cool, because I'd never met you before. I didn't know what
yeah.
you looked like. But I was like, that dude's definitely Taylor. So that was
Yeah.
cool.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. Thank you, brother. How was that topic? Did you like it? Was it awesome?
Yeah, I did. I take those with a grain of salt sometimes because for me, I'm a bit more like it's hard to, I'll say, get deep in those
Right.
type of things. But like, I very much enjoy meeting people and you see some familiar faces. And
Right.
it's for me, those things are like about planting the seed. And then you see more and more faces as time goes on. And it's like, oh, where do I know you from? And it's, oh, well, I saw you at the Bellator Claims Topgolf event, you know?
Right,
So,
right.
yeah. So, no, so it was
Yep.
awesome. It was really cool.
Dude, that's so fun. We had such an amazing time. We probably had what, like 90 people throughout the 4 hours that we were there come in and out
Man.
of that. And if you had to guess, what do you think just the bar tab portion of that night was?
Oh, man. $3,000?
Yeah, dude, close. It was about $6,000. And so you
Oh,
take,
damn.
right? You take into consideration the audience, right? There should have been some other parameters around that, but that's for another story. Anyhow, but dude, it was so fun. The only reason I bring that up is because everybody had obviously an amazing freaking time because of that. And right now it's funny because, dude, I haven't had any alcohol going on almost 18 months, which is crazy. And so
Hell
that's one
yeah,
of the
good for
things that,
you.
yeah, that's one of the things that I've been doing for my own mental health and my own mental sanity and like my capacity, right? And so someday I think I'll drink again, but like right now I'm just totally alcohol free and have really worked on my own healing and the things that I need to do for myself, as well as really building my team and my business to have like a good work product or a good communication system built in our company to make sure people are getting taken care of, right? And you know, as a business
Yeah,
owner.
and it shows, man. I
So,
mean, you can see working with Chris Barrientes. I mean, I
yeah.
think he's the only one that I've really worked with other than you in your company,
Yeah.
but you can tell just your demeanor and stuff like that, that you take care of yourself and your leadership, and it just emanates from you in all other aspects of life. And so that's what a healthy lifestyle does. And then once you get a taste of that, there's no going back, in my opinion. And I
Right.
know you feel the same way.
Yeah, man, for sure. I love it. I love it. So any parting words of wisdom from you, from Tony Robbins, that you want to impart upon our audience? Thank you for being here. If you aren't a subscriber or a member yet, make sure to do that. But any thoughts on that, Derek?
Any parting words? I mean, honestly, just, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think any Tony Robbins quotes that are, I'm just like, oh, fuck yeah, that'll pump you up. But I mean, I don't know. Just, yeah, if you're thinking about doing some self-improvement stuff, if you're thinking about talking to someone, or if you're thinking about maybe taking a break from drinking, or if you're thinking about kind of taking a step out of your maybe, I'll say shitty habits, but looking about what life could be like just on a different path.
Yeah.
You know, do it and try it out, because that's what people were always like, you know, why'd you quit drinking? And I was like, you know what, I know what drinking gets me. What I don't know is what not drinking gets me, you know. And I'll have a couple
Right.
drinks here and there, but I went
Right.
dry for, you know, a year and a half. And then
Oh, nice.
but yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to try something new based off of what people think. And that's way easier said than done. But that would be,
Right.
I guess, any parting words of wisdom.
Yeah, man, that social pressure, I think, plays a big role. And
Yeah.
as I'm hanging out with people and they know that I don't drink, it's like they almost feel sorry for me or something. I'm just like, dude, trust me.
Yeah. Oh my God, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually
And
good.
then I tell them, I'm like,
Yep.
look, dude, I'm more fun sober than most people are drunk. So I'm totally cool, right? I'm totally cool with
Right.
that because that's where I come from. So,
Yeah.
but that's awesome, brother. Well, thank you so much for being on here. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Oh,
And
appreciate the invite. Yeah, thank you.
yeah, definitely. We'll have you on again, man. In a year from now, we'll have you on again, and then we can reflect back on the amazing progress that you've made and that you deserve because you work your freaking ass off. And I appreciate you, brother. Thank you
Well,
so
thank
much.
you.
Yeah,
Yeah,
100%.
appreciate it.
Yeah.